registered dietitian. Lalitha Taylor joins me in studio on crutches. What's going on, Lalitha? How are you?
What's going on is I had an accident in hockey. That's what's going on.
Well, you play hockey?
I do. I play ball hockey in a rec league, and I rolled my ankle on the crutches. Very sad and grumpy because I haven't been able to work out.
Is there any food that can help you heal better?
Not really. Yeah. It's rest. It's rest for the ankle.
Elevation.
And making sure that I'm not eating as much as I did when I was working out.
Okay. There you go. We're going to get into a lot of things. You know, obviously, I was making the analogy. If you want your car to run, you need fuel to put in it. And if you want to, you know, for athletes or just, you know, weekend warrior guys, they go out to their men's league rec game at 10 o'clock at night and they wonder why they got no energy. Well, maybe it's because they're not in good condition, but maybe it's because they're not eating proper food at that time. So we're going to talk a lot about that. The one thing I want to start out with is kind of myths about eating. Are there any foods out there that we think are good for us, but ultimately maybe aren't?
I think the big craze right now is a lot of people are thinking that gluten-free is actually healthy. And that's something that I get questions a lot about in clinic. And the one thing that I can say is gluten-free is a necessity when it comes to individuals who have been diagnosed with celiac disease or if you've been diagnosed with a gluten sensitivity. But if we think about the general population, gluten-free foods aren't necessarily the most nutritious. A lot of gluten-free foods are made out of corn, white rice. These are high glycemic types of foods. And what I mean by that is that they break down into sugar very quickly. They don't give us a lot of nutrients. They're not high in protein. They're not high in fiber. So as a general population, we should not be eating like this. We should be eating our whole grains as much as possible. A lot of people think that carbohydrates are the enemy, but not necessarily. It's just the types of carbohydrates we should be eating.
So yeah, because I think a lot of people, and I include myself in that, I eat decent, but I'm not one who, if I look at a food and say, okay, I know exactly what it is. If it's a carbohydrate, like proteins are pretty basic. I get most of the proteins, but what are the good carbs we should be eating?
The good carbs, definitely we need to be focusing in on the whole grains. And I know a whole bunch of people are going to be cringing when they hear this, but that's the truth. Whole grains are actually a really important part of your diet. Whole grains break down to give us energy. So when we're thinking about working out and fueling our bodies properly, we actually want some good carbohydrate on board. That is the macronutrient that's actually going to break down in our body to provide us with glucose. Glucose or sugar is our body's primary fuel source, and that's what's going to fuel your activity. So good whole grains are the types of carbohydrates that I'm talking about. So whole grain breads, quinoa is a fantastic whole grain as well. When we're thinking about hot cereals, our oatmeal, for example, steel cut oats. So those are just a sampling of some of the whole grains that we want people to gravitate towards.
Now, why are people cringing, do you think, when you say whole grains?
Because I think a lot of people, again, think that carbohydrates are unhealthy for them and are going to make them fat. But really, it's about looking at the whole picture. I'm not proposing here that everybody goes out and eats a whole loaf of bread.
Yes.
Okay? I'm talking about moderation. So when we're speaking moderation and balanced eating, it's having some high quality complex carbohydrate at each meal, but not half your plate. Okay. So we're talking like half a cup to one cup of that carbohydrate in balance with a palm full of protein, along with half a plate full of tons of vegetables that are going to give you your fiber and exposure to those healthy antioxidants.
Registered dietitian Lalitha Taylor joins me. It's Nutrition Month, the month of March. We're talking about this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And, you know, for parents who have kids, you know, that are playing hockey, and I know everybody's busy, they come home from work. We're going to get some tips on the right foods to be getting them. So when your young Johnny or Jill is going to her sporting endeavor, she'll have the energy necessary that she can give his or her best effort in the game. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some of the weekend warriors. Hey, you want to have your beer and wings after the game? That's fine. But what do you need before the game? Not a chocolate bar, most likely, that can get you through it so you can be the guy celebrating that third period goal. We'll get to that and more on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. You're listening to the Gregor Show presented by Loop City and Mobile One. Energy lives here.
portions of this hour brought to you by The Sports Closet. Get in the swing of things at The Sports Closet. They have all new Major League Baseball apparel, including hats, shirts, jerseys, and more. You can check them out in the Sherwood Park Mall or online at sportscloset.ca.
This is the Jason Gregor Show on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260.
Continuing on, Monday, game day on TSN 1260. Oilers taking on the Jets. Should be a very physical game. The Jets, extremely physical team. Luke Gazdag, I know he wanted back him. Him and Peluso. Those guys used to go at it all the time in junior. And maybe would have wanted a shot at Bufflin tonight as far as body contact goes, because as we all know, Big Buff ran over Gazdag with a clean hit the last time these two teams played. But no changes to the Oilers lineup tonight. Changes, though, many of us need to do it in our diet. And diet maybe is kind of a four-letter word that some people don't want to use. Mm-hmm. I think at times it's overused. Oh, I'm on a diet. Not really. You just want to be eating healthy. That shouldn't be considered a diet. It's a nutrition month, and we've got registered dietitian Lalitha Taylor with me from the Primary Care Network. Lalitha, I really appreciate you staying around. I want to get – we talked earlier about carbs and macronutrients and whole grains. And I was talking about parents now for their children, right? Yeah. Because, you know, you got a lot of parents. They're putting their kids in all of these. You know what? You get extra coaching for whatever their sport or activity is. And that stuff's all great. But if they don't have the proper nutrients, it's really kind of going to waste. What are, you know, and for parents now, they come home from work. They've only got 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to practice, or maybe you got to get to a game. What are some of the best things that you're feeding your children that they need that are healthy and good, and that's going to give them the energy to get through their sporting activities?
That's a great question. And I think the biggest issue is time for parents to prepare some of these snacks. And so I'm going to propose some healthy snack ideas that are really quick and convenient, but also doing a little bit of prep ahead of time. So making some grocery lists and making sure that you have the ingredients on hand, because if you only have 30 to 45 minutes, you need to kind of grab and go, essentially. So what we're looking at in terms of snacks that are going to help provide that fuel for your child's activity is we want to make sure that we have some good carbohydrate on board. So again, carbohydrate is going to break down into that glucose. That is going to be your body's primary fuel source. We don't want that snack or that meal, especially if it's within 30 to 45 minutes of that activity, to be really high in protein, high in fiber, or high in fat. That could potentially cause some gastrointestinal distress because those nutrients take a longer time to break down. So really quick ideas could even be grabbing a whole wheat tortilla, putting a little bit of peanut butter, and putting an entire whole banana in that, wrapping it up, cutting it up like sushi, and providing that to your kid. Your kid could even eat that in the car on the way to his or her activity. Another idea too is creating a shake, a really healthy shake. So again, getting some berries, a frozen banana in there. You could use milk. I would recommend some yogurt as well. You could even have Greek yogurt, a tiny amount of protein in there. Whiz that up, and that is a fantastic, rich source of carbohydrate with lots of energy to fuel that activity. And you're also getting a little bit of hydration in there. Speaking of hydration, that's a really important point too. So prior to your activity, within 2 hours prior to activity, your children should be having at least 2 to 3 cups of fluid, if possible. I know my daughter, she does gymnastics for at least an hour on Mondays, and she's not allowed to bring her water bottle on the floor, but they take a break to get a drink from the water fountain. So one gulp out of a water fountain is about 1 ounce. Every 15 to 20 minutes, children should be having about 4 to 6 ounces. So that's about 4 to 6 gulps. So tell your children that water fountain, have at least 4 to 6 gulps of fluid to
every
keep them hydrated.
Minutes.
15 to 20 minutes, absolutely. So if it's a moderate, intense type of activity where they're running around, they need to keep hydrated. So signs of dehydration, if they're starting to get muscle cramping, it could be very well dehydration or nausea, also fatigue too. So hydration is a really important point. Now, I get parents asking me, well, what about sports drinks? So that's only if that activity is really 60 minutes or longer. And again, that's that moderate to intense activity. So if you're sweating a lot, you're losing electrolytes like sodium and potassium, you're going to need a little bit of that extra carbohydrate, some of that sugar from that sports drink to get on board as well. And of course, the hydration from that sports drink is important too.
Lalitha Taylor, a registered dietitian, joins me in studio. Now, for kids, how much is it important then as they get a little bit older to make sure they have that good lunch 4 or 5 hours before? How much does that factor into it where, you know, the banana wrap with peanut butter sounded great? We got a lot of guys texting in saying that's what they want to eat now. But how important is the lunch meal? I've heard, you know, it used to be, oh, I have a big pasta dinner the night before a game or something. Can you talk about the breakdown factor on how we break down foods? And is there a timeline to get the peak maximal value out of the food we ingest?
Yeah, so 3 to 4 hours prior to your activity, you're really looking at that balanced meal. So it could be a whole grain sandwich with tuna or salmon inside of it. Get that protein on board. Don't be afraid of having, again, those vegetables. Vegetables and fruits are so important for athletes. I can't stress this enough because you're exposing yourself to all those beneficial antioxidants. For athletes, remember, when you participate in intense activity, you're potentially, you're predisposing yourself to a little bit more oxidative stress, right?
Okay.
So we want to get those healthy vegetables and fruits on board to negate some of that oxidative stress that could be happening in your body. Now, especially for children, oh my goodness, we're concerned with some of our athletic children that they may be predisposed to nutrient deficiencies like iron. So having that balanced meal with protein, some carbohydrates and vegetables, that's going to allow them to get in that iron. But again, if you have that balanced meal, you're going to have vitamin C there that will actually help to absorb that iron too. You're going to get in those vitamin B6 and folate minerals that are also really important as well. And carbohydrates that later down the road are going to be beneficial for that activity, right? So everything plays synergistically together with that balanced plate.
For a lot of people, they might not know exactly, you know, where it falls into, okay? Some people probably don't realize that peanut butter is a protein, right?
Right.
And so is there a recommendation where people can go online where they could find out where a lot of things fall under? So, okay, if I want to make sure I'm having some carbs, make sure I'm having a good protein. What I don't want just chicken and meat or fish, for instance. What are some other options? Where's the best place for people to go if they want just a nice, healthy reminder of what they what falls into what category?
Yeah, so definitely you can talk to your health professional like a dietitian, but you can go onto our Government of Canada website, look at a Canada Food Guide.
Do you agree with the Canadian Food Guide?
You know, that's a great question, and I get lots of questions about Canada's Food Guide. And in terms of disseminating accurate evidence-based information to the general population, yes, I do agree with Canada's Food Guide.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people think, well, it says, you know, 6 servings of grains, that's too much. I'm going to get fat off of that. If we think about a serving really is only half a cup.
Yes.
And when I'm having cereal in the morning, I'm having 1 cup of cereal. I'm not having half a cup of cereal.
Yeah.
So that's 2 servings right off the bat.
And actually, it's funny because when I met you 2 months ago and you gave me a meal plan, I sat down, I've told everybody it's the best money I ever spent, was it said, okay, a cup of cereal. Or it said 2 cups of cereal. And I was like, 2 cups of cereal? So I went home and I actually got a measuring cup and I measured out 2 cups of cereal. Then I put it in my bowl and I'm like, well, that's what I've been eating all the time. But I always thought a cup, you know, because it says it's a cup. So in our minds, we think it's a cup. But in actuality, most of our cereal bowls are likely 2 cups.
Right, right. Exactly. And so take that time to measure out your food and see how it stacks up against Canada's Food Guide. Now, with that being said, I don't necessarily believe that approaching diet is a cookie cutter approach. So when I am meeting with clients and patients, I'm not necessarily always referring back to Canada's Food Guide. If you have special dietary concerns or special nutritional requirements, then we deviate from that. But it is a good place to start.
A few other things I want to get to now. I've had a few people question, does the nutritional value of frozen veggies to real ones, how different is it?
You know, oftentimes frozen vegetables and frozen fruit may even be of superior quality than what we find in our grocery store for our fresh produce. When we think about those frozen vegetables and fruit, they're actually picked at their peak. and then they're flash frozen, right? Okay. Whereas when we get fruits and vegetables coming into our grocery store, oftentimes they're sitting in the grocery store ripening. And then we grab them. So a lot of people think, you know, buying frozen is an inferior choice, but it's not. I think it's a great convenient option for when you haven't gone grocery shopping. You can just grab some frozen vegetables, some frozen fruit out of your freezer, and you have that to turn to as a convenient way of getting in those extra fruits and vegetables, and it's not compromising any quality.
Okay. Farmers market, of course, where it's fresh, still the best.
Love farmers market. And not only that, you're supporting your community and you're supporting farmers that are producing local food. I almost think that's better than organic, Jason.
Yeah, well, hey, we could get into the whole organic thing.
We could. And, that might be another show.
Yeah, because I find now as a farmer and somebody, you know, we've raised cattle my whole life. Our farm isn't considered organic because we give our cows a salt lick. We don't give them anything else. We have hay that we have on our own land. We have grain, everything, and it's fine. There's nothing added to it. But because of the certain salt, like they consider that it's not organic. Like that is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
Right? Like it all. So people, I think sometimes you can read the organic label and you're paying $3 more. Is it really that much better? Like how does someone gonna know if it's truly that much better?
Well, here's the thing about organic foods, because a lot of people think that organic foods are much more nutritious than non-organic. And just very quickly, it doesn't, just because it's organic doesn't mean it's of superior quality nutrition-wise. There's not enough scientific evidence to actually support that.
Okay.
Because it depends, the nutritional quality of that food depends on a variety of things. It depends on soil that food is grown in. It depends on the growing conditions. It depends on when that food is harvested. When it comes to organic meats, it depends on the species of animal and what that animal is being fed. So there's a lot of other factors that play into what makes that food more nutritious. Now, studies have shown that organic foods do contain a higher level of phosphorus, but in Canada, we are not at risk for phosphorus deficiency.
Okay.
At all. Some contain a higher level of phytochemicals, but our non-organic produce does contain a lot of phytochemicals too. So, you know, I often say, if you cannot afford to buy organic, don't feel shamed or guilty about buying non-organic foods. Just do your due diligence and wash your produce well. And that goes for organic food as well. You got to wash that organic produce just as well, because there could be E. coli bacteria that's naked to the eye present on that food too.
Registered dietitian Lalitha Taylor from the Primary Care Network joins me in studio. It is Nutrition Month. We're talking on how to fuel your body, your children's body better. Now, one thing we are deficient, of course, is vitamin D. We don't get a lot of sun, especially in Alberta and Canada. We say that we're vitamin D deficient. Let's talk about the vitamins and the supplements, because a lot of people are like, hey, you know what? I'm not eating any oranges, but I'm going to crush, you know, my vitamin C pills, and that's going to be the equivalent. Where does it balance out for getting natural within an actual food or taking a vitamin supplement? How should we balance that?
Alberta Health Services actually came out with a statement saying that every single Albertan between the months of October to April should be supplementing with vitamin D. That's a fact, folks. So if you're not on a vitamin D supplement, well, we're almost at April, but judging by outside, you still have time to start. We just don't get enough exposure to sun. And that's really where that synthesis takes place. And there's very few products within our food system that are actually fortified with vitamin D. So our milk alternatives may have some, will have some rather. Our yogurt may or may not. Salmon will have some, eggs will have some naturally, but really if you're not consuming those products in large amounts, you're not going to be getting enough of that vitamin D. So for adults, at the very least, should be supplementing with around 600 international units, or more.
Or more, yeah. I know I've got, I just bought, and I'll be honest, I'd never taken a vitamin D pill before. I was like, what's this vitamin D deficiency thing? I have no idea what we're talking about. But I got it, and honestly, I've been taking it now for 2 months, and I find that I used to be a little achy all the time after working out, and that seems to have gone away. Now, maybe it's because I'm working out better, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that if we have more vitamin D in our body, that aches and pains are one that slowly erodes.
there's so many different areas that we're not actually sure what vitamin D influences. There's still a lot of preliminary evidence that's coming out. Some say that it could be helpful for cancers, preventing cancers. But what we do know about vitamin D is that we cannot absorb calcium without vitamin D. And so when it comes to our bone density, which over time decreases if we're not making sure that we're having our vitamin D and our calcium-rich products. So if we don't have that supplement on board, we could predispose ourselves to stuff like osteoporosis, which isn't fun.
No, definitely. And so if you're working outdoors year-round, there's still not enough vitamin D, according to the health guide in Alberta. Is that right?
That's right. So even if you're working outside during the summer and maybe you're a snowbird and you take off to Hawaii for a couple weeks or a month, et cetera, and you're lazing out in the sun, absorbing all of those rays, you're still going to need to take a supplement from October again to April.
October till April. Summertime here because, of course, we got light out that time. We should be okay.
And it also depends. I mean, if you have a talk with your family physician and you get your vitamin D levels tested and they're deficient, for some individuals, they have to supplement year round. So that's a good conversation to have with your family doc.
Lalitha Taylor joins us. We've got a lot of texts. We'll get to some questions. If you got any, feel free to text us at 10-12-60. We'll come back more. We're going to have some fun, talk about the Weekend Warrior guys. I know we've got a lot of them listening who are playing their rec league games. And it's not your condition. Well, maybe it's your lack of conditioning, or maybe it's just your lack of not eating enough or eating properly before your big game to allow you to be a goal scorer. Or maybe you want to be the next two-way player in men's league. God help you if that's you. But we'll come back, talk about that and more on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. You're listening to The Gregor Show, presented by Mobile One and Loop City. Great savings or click away at loopcity.com.
Portions of this hour brought to you by Papa John's Pizza. Get a taste of the new bacon cheeseburger pizza on now for a limited time at Papa John's. You can get a large for just $15.99. Order online at papajohns.com. Better ingredients, better pizza. That's Papa John's.
This is the Jason Gregor Show on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260.
$2.45, Nutrition Month, so we're talking nutrition. Hey, in order to be successful in any athletic endeavor you do, you got to be eating properly. We have registered dietitian Lalitha Taylor from the Primary Care Network joining me in studio. I really appreciate you taking the time this afternoon. We've had a lot of different questions. People wonder, can you take too much vitamin D a day if you're taking like 2,000?
It really depends on, and I'll just put this bluntly, how big you are. Because if you are a bigger size of an individual, you actually might need to take a higher dose of vitamin D. Now, there is the potential risk of toxicity, but that is very rare.
Yeah.
If you have questions about how much...
Ask your doctor.
Exactly. Ask your doctor or your health professional.
If you're vitamin D3 deficient, what's the difference between that and regular vitamin D?
So when you're purchasing your vitamin D supplement, for example, you want to get a vitamin D3. So vitamin D3 is pretty much the activated form of vitamin D.
Okay.
So there's three steps for that activation process to take place. So when you're at the grocery store getting your supplement, you don't want a D2, you want it D3. And so oftentimes when you're getting your blood work tested, they're going to give you the different types of vitamin D that you could, you're deficient in, but it's the D3 that you're going to want to buy as a supplement.
Okay. A few other things that I really wanted to get on today was, and we talk about the men's league guys, you know, a lot of them, because a lot of people say, you don't, you're not supposed to eat too much after 7 o'clock. And I understand that on a regular day, if you're just going to sit at home, watch TV, obviously if you're stuffing your face with nachos and chips and everything, it's just, you know, it's just calories. You're not doing any activity. It's not really great. But a lot of guys or girls now are playing rec league game. You're playing men's league and hockey some nights at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh yeah.
Right. So you're obviously going to be burning some of that stuff off. You don't want to eat too much, but if somebody comes home, they have dinner with the wife and kids and they have dinner and then they're waiting their games at 10 o'clock. What do you recommend? What's a good, healthy option that's going to give them some energy to help them get through the game?
Yeah, so you definitely, again, want to go back to having some good quality carbohydrate. You could even have a little bit of protein. I know for me, I get nervous when I play hockey. Anytime I play against another team, I get nervous. I get jittery. And so I can't actually eat whole food. I have to drink something because that settles a bit better in my stomach. So this is very individualized. Okay. You're going to have to play around with those snacks to figure out what's going to work best for you. But again, bottom line, you don't want a lot of fiber. You don't want a ton of protein and you don't want a lot of fat. Keep it simple. For me, I like a little bit of protein because I find if I just ate a banana, for example, about, let's say 30 minutes in, I'm kind of hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a banana with a good heaping tablespoon of peanut butter.
And now, peanut butter, you got to get the right kind of peanut butter because that's the one I know when I signed up, I had to change my peanut butter eating habits. And I trust me, I used to love Skippy. It was my favorite one, the creamy stuff. It's so good. And you get the ones, and I remember the first time I'd ever seen it, I was like, you mean I got to get the peanut butter that when you open the lid off, it's got like that layer of water and you got to stir it. And I'm like, this is disgusting. But I stir it, which takes, that's like the hardest part of the whole thing. But actually now I don't mind it. And I actually prefer that type because it's just straight natural peanuts. Why is that so much better?
Well, because you're going to get more protein,
okay. Right?
So that's definitely more advantageous. With some of those natural peanut butters, you can easily just flip it upside down and then you don't have to worry about that vigorous stirring in the morning. And you can also get peanut butters that are natural that are no stir as well. But I like those ones. They're healthier options because, again, they're not going to have some of the trans fat that's present in some of those regular peanut butters. And also they're going to just bump up that protein content a bit more. And there's going to be less sugar, more of those healthier fats. But again, you know what? I'm not going to be overly anal. If somebody comes in and says they're having Skippy or Kraft,
sure. It's
okay because it's still a pretty good protein choice and it does have those healthy mono unsaturated fats that are going to be healthy for your heart.
Leads me to the question, how you said, you know, you don't want to be too anal about it. And I think when people hear they want to change their eating habits, they're like, oh, all my best favorite foods. Well, of course, if all you're eating is garbage, then yes, you're going to have to change it. But For most of us, unless you're shooting to get a six pack like some idiot that I know or other people, for the most part, if you just want to eat healthier and shred a few inches off your waistline, because it doesn't necessarily, eating healthy doesn't guarantee you'll lose weight, but you'll lose inches, which is the most important part. How do you balance on to have like a cheat time or not? And I know that's not necessarily the right word to use in the industry, but when you maybe want to deviate to eat a little bit unhealthy, something that just because it feels good.
Well, and I think you raise a really very important point, Jason, because if you deprive yourself and if you say, I'm only going to eat clean, you're going to binge eat later on. You're going to go to Dairy Queen, order a couple blizzards and just have a heyday. And so what we need to do is really incorporate that sense of moderation. And if you know, if it is like a big happy birthday dinner or Thanksgiving or a special celebration that you're going to have with friends, I often tell my patients and clients, go for it. Go for it. Enjoy that meal because food is supposed to be meant to be pleasurable at times too. But the one thing is you don't necessarily have to feel guilty after eating that and say, well, I fell off the bandwagon. You know, I can't go back to clean eating because I did this and feel the shame. Eat clean the next day, exercise, and you're going to be okay. It takes about 2 or 3 days for your body to really absorb those calories. I love what this dietitian once said to me. And she said, there's this damage control that you can essentially implement. So if you deviate from diet or if you have a treat or if you have a fuller fat meal or if you have some alcohol, that's okay. That's okay. Just eat a bit simpler the next day. Exercise a bit more and do that for 2 days and guaranteed you're not going to feel the repercussions of that high caloric meal that you had a couple days prior.
For those of us who maybe like to go out and indulge in a fun night out with the boys or the ladies that involves, you know, a few extra beers, is exercise the number one thing you'd recommend the next day to try to sweat that out and burn it off so maybe you're not absorbing all of the bad calories?
Oh, if you can exercise, maybe, but no, it would definitely be water. Definitely be hydration.
Really?
Yeah, that's one thing that I would recommend. I mean, when we think about alcohol, alcohol is technically a diuretic.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes when you're drinking alcohol, you could have the propensity to actually lose a little bit more fluid, pee a bit more often.
No wonder it's like a steady line to the washroom all the time.
Absolutely. And so one thing to sort of negate the effects of that is if you are going to go out with the girls or the guys or whomever, have something else to be drinking, some water on hand along with those alcoholic beverages. You're going to feel way better the next day. Also, one thing to just add is, you know, if you are trying to eat a little bit better, eat a bit cleaner, alcohol can really negate your efforts with that, because when we're having alcohol, not only is alcohol calorically dense, I mean, you think about it, 7 calories per gram, it's close to fat. Fat's 9 calories per gram. But alcohol will lower your inhibitions. You're feeling really good. It's not going to be a problem for you to devour those chicken wings.
That late night Papa John's and Donair's, oh, they're so good.
That's right.
Is there any food that's good for you while you're drinking?
Well, again, we talked about the water. They usually say bread can help soak up the alcohol.
Yeah, is that true? Is there any proof to that?
You know, it's going to lessen the effects of the alcohol. A really, really important point is if you do have something like diabetes, you must eat something if you are going to drink alcohol, because alcohol will lower your blood sugars. Physiologically, it will lower your blood sugar. So it's always a good idea to be having something on hand. If you can grab something healthy, awesome. If not, maybe a vegetable platter along with some whole grain bread.
We have a lot of questions about the energy drinks.
Yes.
Parents wondering for their kids.
Ooh, that is not something that I recommend. Now, clarification, sports drinks or energy drinks?
Energy drinks are saying.
So the one thing about energy drinks is they often will have caffeine or another substance very similar to caffeine known as guarana. And so this can really stimulate your nervous system. It's almost like pseudo-adrenaline, right? It is a diuretic as well. It has a lot of calories, lots of sugar. It's not something that has a ton of nutrients in it. And I know a lot of energy drinks market themselves as something healthy because they have vitamins and minerals added to it. You can get that from your food.
Yeah.
You don't need to be paying $3 for these ginormous monster drinks to be getting your vitamins and minerals.
Because you're getting so much so much sugar in it, it's counteracting.
Oh,
anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How long does it take the body for nutrients to get into the bloodstream?
It depends on everybody's rates of digestion and absorption.
Okay.
So that's a good question, but that's going to vary.
Now, what are your thoughts on protein powder in smoothies for kids?
You know, the one thing about protein powders, I try and steer clear away from that with my daughter personally, because a lot of times they'll have aspartame in the protein powder. So they'll have some type of artificial sweetener. So whether it be aspartame or sucralose. So if you're wanting to add protein to your child's smoothie, use something like Greek yogurt. If you get a plain Greek yogurt, 3/4 cup of that will give you 18 grams of protein.
So, way better.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. 1/2 cup of cottage cheese is 15 grams, but even a simple cup of milk is going to give you 9 grams of protein. So you don't necessarily need to turn to the protein powders to augment that shake for your child.
And cottage cheese, be sure to get the no salt added. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. So cottage cheese can be full of sodium, like 500 milligrams per 1/2 cup. So if you get the no salt added, which is available, I believe, at Safeway, that'll save you 450 milligrams, which is phenomenal.
A few other quick ones is Lalitha Taylor, registered dietitian from the Primary Care Network, joins us. March is Nutrition Month, trying to get everybody to eat a little bit healthier. There's a lot of, some people are now, dairy's bad for you. I know we could probably get into it for an hour, but what's your thoughts on dairy? And is it bad for us?
I really think that's going to come down to personal preference. Overall, what the evidence is showing us that dairy is a great source of protein. Like I mentioned before, a cup of milk is going to give you 9 grams of protein per cup. Wonderful source of calcium. So 300 milligrams of calcium as well. It's fortified in vitamin D. So lots of healthy nutrients inside milk that's going to expose your child to lots of really great nutrients, expose yourself as an adult as well. Equally, though, you can get calcium, vitamin D, protein from some of your milk alternatives too. So for example, in my household, my daughter doesn't like the taste of cow's milk. My husband drinks it, but she prefers soya milk. So soya milk, another milk alternative.
What about almond milk?
I'm glad you brought that up, because we think about our almond or cashew, rice, and also even that coconut milk that's out there too. Now, those milk alternatives are fortified, but they are very low sources of protein. So if you're opting for a milk alternative and you want to get more bang for your buck, I actually do recommend opting for a soya milk. Soya is actually a powerhouse of nutrients. It contains omega-3s. It'll be fortified with that vitamin B12. It's also can play a role in cardiovascular health too. And for women, this is huge. It can actually minimize symptoms of menopause.
Really?
Absolutely.
A few other quick ones. Now, we know that pop's not good for us. Like, you're drinking, it's one of the more terrible things. Now, if you had one every now and then, but people have pop a day, and there's a lot of people that are on that, well, I'm drinking diet pop. Mm-hmm. So somehow that's better. Is diet pop actually better?
Well, when we think about diet pop, again, it's pumped full of that artificial sweetener. And evidence has showed that within small groups of people who drink large amounts of artificial sweetener through these diet pops, it can actually ramp up your cravings for real sugar later on in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not actually be doing themselves a favor by having all of these products that have the artificial sweetener in them if they're going to negate all of that by having, you know, candy and junk food later on in the evening. In terms of the regular pop, again, this is about moderation. We know that regular pop has about 8 teaspoons of sugar per can.
Eight
teaspoons of sugar per can. So it's definitely not something that we want to have as a regular part of our diet, but every now and again, it's that balance piece,
sure,
right? If you really have a hankering for a pop, honestly, just go for it so that, again, you don't binge drink on it later.
8 teaspoons. I think people, if somebody had 8 teaspoons of sugar there and put it and said, okay, now that's what you're drinking, they'd never do it.
You would be surprised. Yeah. I think they would.
8 teaspoons. Now, you brought me a healthy, because I have a sweet tooth, and that's been one of the biggest things I've had to change. This is unbelievable, and it's healthy. What is it?
So what I made for you is some protein bites. So essentially, it's 1 cup of whole rolled oats. So again, that healthy, complex carbohydrate, right? I mashed up a banana, one whole mashed up banana, Jason, and that's your natural sugar. Bananas are a phenomenal source of potassium. Potassium, again, plays a really important role in heart health. There's 1/2 cup of chopped dates. Dates, again, really high in potassium. I put 3/4 cup of peanut butter and 1/2 cup of pumpkin seeds. Really phenomenal sources of protein, but some of those healthy, unsaturated fats as well. Combined it all together and made these little protein bites.
This is like, it almost tastes like a Reese's peanut butter cup to me.
Yeah, it does.
Like, and you know, was so, and it's healthy. I love it.
It's made with whole food, whole ingredients, and my 6-year-old daughter eats that. So everyone, adults, children can enjoy that.
And you have like 1 or 2 at a time kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. 1 to 2 servings at a time, absolutely.
Oh, so good. I love it. One other, for a lot of people wondering, does soy milk, is it full of estrogen?
Ooh, great question. I had a feeling somebody would ask that. So there's been a lot of myths surrounding soya over the past few years saying if you have soya, it's going to cause you to have cancer. In fact, there are certain proponents that are found in soya known as isoflavones that actually can protect against certain types of cancers. And evidence has also showed that if you have about 25 to 50 grams of soya in your diet, it's cardio protective as well. So, for example, 1 cup of soya milk is about 7 grams. For adults, you can safely have 2 to 4 servings of soy in your diet per day. For children, 2 servings per day. This is not going to increase your risk of cancer, and in some cases, it may decrease your risk of cancer.
And is it packed with estrogen? Is there any truth to that for soy?
There's something known as the phytoestrogens.
Okay.
Yeah. So they mimic estrogen-like properties, so the hormones that we find in our body. But you're not, I know a lot of people are like, well,
like,
is my son
like
going to grow breasts? No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, otherwise, there may be some girls who wanted bigger ones would be crushing soy milk all the time.
Oh, man. on.
It'd be hilarious. That's a new myth you can start for fun, guys. Yeah, drink soy milk and you'll grow a bigger breast or fuller, I guess. That'd be great. Lalitha, I really appreciate this. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely.
You can follow her on Twitter at Lalitha Taylor. And I know there's a few people here that want to get a hold of you and maybe they can check it out. Also, if you can send me that recipe, I'll put it up on my website because everybody's texting me to find out what that recipe is because it sounds great. So I love it. Lalitha, we'll do this again. Really appreciate it. Have a good nutrition month.
Thank you.
What's left of March.
Thanks so much, Jason.